Bujun and Dinawe Magani Dug. Beshko Benesia Kwe Indigo Mang Nindu Dame Ga Osisqua Jimmy Cog and Dunjaba Ga Misqua Wako Cog Inda Elaine Fleming Indishina Kaz. Hi, my relatives. It's good to be back here again. My spirit name, the name that the universe knows me by, is One Thunderbird Woman. And I'm an enrolled member of Leech Lake Nation. I live in Cass Lake, and my colonized name is Elaine Fleming. It's good to be here again today, walking over here to the radio station. I passed the lilacs, and it reminded me of my mother, Nimama Iban, who's gone home. She used to talk about all the old funerals and the wakes that they used to have out at the mission, and about how they always brought lilacs, bunches and bunches of lilacs. They grow everywhere up here, and so she grew to not appreciate their smell anymore. But that's just another story. This is a beautiful time of year, and it's a time of many wood ticks also. So this is History of Leech Lake. And, you know, when I share History of Leech Lake, I always share culture. I, in learning about myself as an Ojibwe Ikwe and Ojibwe woman, some of the things that I was brought up with was storytelling. Nimama Iban telling me those stories about Nana Buju and the head, and Nibaba Iban telling me stories too about the family. And Nibaba Iban, he told me that wherever there's a story about a place, there's some kind of truth in it. And that's the same thing that Basil Johnston said. He's a historian, he's an author, he passed on to a Canadian elder, but he wrote many books, Ojibwe ceremonies, Ojibwe heritage, the Manidus, and I love those books, I love those stories, and so I share them with other people, the things that I learned from him. But what Basil Johnston said about those particular stories, he said he used to go around to different classes, and they would want to know about the Ojibwe people. And so they would want to know what kind of dwellings they lived in, the kinds of foods that they ate, the clothing that they wore, what they hunted. And Basil Johnston said that if you really want to know a people, then you need to know their stories. He said because in their stories are their cultural teachings, their teachings about their values and what they think about life. And so when I teach history, I tell stories also. And I do this in a very respectful way, because I mean no disrespect to anyone who's gone on before us and who's given us those stories. So I want to share a little bit of something that I wrote this past year. And it's titled The Ojibwe Who Slew the Wendigo. And it's something I wrote for the Tribal College Journal, and it was about history. And so it begins like this. For the Ojibwe, history and legends are passed down orally. There are the stories of Wendigo, a giant monster, a cannibal, who killed and ate our people. Colonization was our Wendigo. Colonization and historical trauma travel together. That trauma is passed down from generation to generation and exhibits itself in the behaviors, both psychological and physiological, of our people today. These after effects of historical trauma are called historical loss symptoms. Depression, anger, suicide, dysfunctional parenting, alcohol abuse, unemployment, and diabetes are examples of these loss symptoms. Long ago, the Ojibwe people were sick. A terrible epidemic was killing them. There was a man called Odeiman who got sick and died. In death, he traveled west to where it's more beautiful than the sunset. When he got to the river that he would have to cross to the other side, the spirits asked him, "Why are you grieving, Odeiman?" He answered, "Because my people are dying." The spirits told Odeiman that he was to return to the Ojibwe. He was to tell them that their teacher was coming to teach them about Mino Bima Disiwin, the good life. Their teacher would bring to the Ojibwe the rituals and ceremonies to help them get over the hills in their lives, those sad and traumatic times that all experience. Over the years, the Ojibwe experienced many traumas. That is the way of the Wendigo. A story is told of the Wendigo running amok amongst our people and killing them. There had been thousands of Ojibwe and many villages before the Wendigo came. The Wendigo was killing everyone. So an Ojibwe man challenged Wendigo to a race. If the Ojibwe man won, the Wendigo would leave. They raced and the Ojibwe man lost. After that, the Wendigo continued killing our people. Another Ojibwe man had a dream that he could defeat the Wendigo. In his dream, he talked to a grandma who shared a story. She told the man that she had traveled around to find out who was left. She had gathered the remaining Ojibwe children and took them with her and made them practice running upon a lake back and forth all day long, day after day, in preparation for the next race with the Wendigo. There were 15 people remaining, 15 children, and each time a race occurred, another child died. The grandma would be the last one to race the Wendigo. This lake that the Ojibwe children ran upon symbolized their subconscious. They didn't know who they were. Their culture, their language, their rituals and ceremonies had been taken from them through forced removal to new lands in the boarding school experience. Families were fractured. When the children met this Ojibwe man, he asked them what their clans and their names were. They didn't know. Eventually, the Ojibwe man raced the Wendigo and then its brother. He defeated them. This last Wendigo begged for mercy from the Ojibwe man who had had the dream. The Ojibwe man knew the Wendigo to be a liar and he slew him. Then the Ojibwe man raced around this land and slew the other Wendigos. The few remaining ran away, it said, to the north. As the story ends, the Ojibwe man with the dream, the vision, gave the Ojibwe children their Ojibwe names, the names by which the universe knows us. The Wendigo killed us in many ways and took our land and culture. We continue to pick up those things taken from us by Wendigo. So I teach at the Leech Lake Tribal College, and we teach that we are people of a nation. We, as a nation, we have our own history. We have our own land-based governance, language, and culture. We are not ethnic minorities. Once I had a dream. I dreamt of these two old Ojibwe grandmas. They were naked and their dead bodies were hanging from a coat rack in a meeting room with many people. The others were not Ojibwe and they could not see the two grandmas. I kept trying to get them to see the grandmas, but they just ignored me. That morning when I woke, I took the pipe that I care for outside and I talked to those two old grandmas. I told them that they could go home. I told them that things were okay now and that we were healing. We would take care of things. The grandmas could rest in that place more beautiful than the sunset. And so that particular story about the Wendigo came from one of Basil Johnston's books. And I remember sitting down with Toby Sunaquet from Canada. He's also gone home. And listening to him talk with many other people, and Toby Sunaquet said, it's okay now to share these stories. And so when I teach history, that's what I do. I'm going to be talking about colonization in that Wendigo in future stories. But I want to say miigwech for listening to me. and we'll talk again soon. Miigwech, miigwech.